eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi there, welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Padcast. The Pad Tie Cast.
Hey, actually, that should be a thing.
Yeah, I'm in. It's noodly.
Just noodling.
A top 50 intercom podcast. Our weekly look into ACB Seattle Sounders FC.
The Pad Tie Cast is already top 50?
You know it. Nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, peanut sauce, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league desperately needed. Foreign oil money. It's MLS. Hi there. We're your hosts for Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at CenturyLink Field. He is Brandon from the internet.
And he is currently craving pad thai now that we've, like, I feel like the last few times I've gotten Thai food, I haven't gotten pad thai. I always get something different. So I feel like maybe tonight I'll go hit up one of my favorite. I'm about to move out of Seattle, and yeah. I feel like there's a lot of food I want to get before I leave. And I think one of those things is going to have to be some Thai food.
Okay, let's go over if there was, like, your top three things. It doesn't have to be the best or anything, but the three things you got to get before you get.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in Spokane is where I'm moving. And there's no Din Tai Fung in Spokane. And so I feel like Din Tai Fung is on my list of, have to go at least a couple times before I go. What do I always crave? I feel like Big Mario's. Get a couple slices of pizza. Big fan of that. Yeah. Even though I feel like I eat pizza like every day. Oh, and then there's there's the teriyaki place across from the old radio station building.
Yeah, yeah.
That place is so good. Midori number 4, I think, is what it's called. That place.
Until you identified them by name, I was going to make fun of them.
But oh, yeah.
It's not as good as the pho place, though.
Right next
Pho
door.
Bok, that's right there. I know.
But, like, the thing about this teriyaki place is that, and I've been trying to find, like, any other teriyaki place that does it, because it's not super convenient to drive to the old radio station in order to get, like, in order to get teriyaki, I almost called it by what you were going to call it. you should bleep out when I said the name, so now I can call it what it is, which is but so it's not super convenient for me to drive down there. But what they do is they have this, like, garlic mayo or, like, thing, I don't know, but, like, when you dip the spicy chicken teriyaki in it, it makes it incredible. Oh, it's so good.
Because you're pairing spicy with creamy, always a go-to smart move.
And they're, like, the only teriyaki place that does it. So I feel like now that I'm on the spot, it's like Din Tai Fung, Little Big Mario's, and then like I have to hit that up.
Well, that's really interesting because I didn't know anything about this. I was reading a Reddit thread, as I do, and there it was that you have to try the people that invented
teriyaki,
like, the American teriyaki.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Teriyaki. You have to go to...
I think it was Thomas Edison Teriyaki.
Yeah, Thomas Edison Teriyaki. That's what it was. Yes, thank you.
No, but so, he had like a restaurant, and then it's like up in Shoreline now, right? Like he has like a place up in Shoreline, or maybe even further north.
There's like 50 of them, dude. It's crazy.
Oh,
it's
for real?
Called Toshi's Teriyaki.
Oh,
is
yeah.
like the spot.
Yeah.
And there's one like at Mill Creek Town Center, not like just down from there, which is like minutes from my house. And I didn't know anything about it, and someone posted that. It's like, well, I mean, I really want that because I'm hungry and it's 8:30 in the morning, but like how far do I actually have to drive? And it was like down the street, and someone said that, I don't know if this is the original one or not, but someone said that, and I just believed it because I'm an idiot. But then I looked it up, and there's like one in Edmonds, and there's like right there along the water, man. Ah, they're everywhere. And it's totally different because all of the teriyaki places that I've frequented before, they all have the ultra thin beef.
Yeah.
And then there's like some sort of gristly knuckle that's in there, and you're like, then I can't eat there ever again for like 2 years. And so there's a place by when you worked at the Sounders, there's that place that does the really good spicy
Oh, first
chicken.
Of all, the lady that runs that place is the best. She's like a robot, but like a nice robot that like doesn't want to kill you. And like she's like taking, because there's always, because that place is so good, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like that place is so good, there's always a line out the door. And she is like taking your credit card while also bagging something. And like she's like General Grievous if General Grievous was like a Japanese lady that served you teriyaki.
General Thomas Edison Grievous teriyaki. Okay, got it.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so yeah, that spicy teriyaki down there.
Yeah, so there's like a bunch of spots, but like I've never experienced anything like Toshi's before. Like the beef is thick and hot. Oh. No, but it's like a better cut. It's like a better cut of meat.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind how much better it is. I can't stop going there. And the first time I went, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I was like blown away by how crazy better it was than everything else. Like, it's a whole other dimension of teriyaki. I couldn't even believe it existed.
The wizard bird brought it in from another dimension.
You got that right. Yeah. Thanks, wizard bird. Nicely done. Okay.
Also,
so,
you make great teriyaki.
So that's one of my spots now that, like, if I was, like, going to have to say goodbye to Seattle cuisine, I would go to Wizard Bird Teriyaki.
Yeah. Wait. So question. Are you going to have chicken teriyaki, beef teriyaki, or Wizard Bird Teriyaki?
If you eat the Wizard Bird Teriyaki, you teleport through your own butthole.
I think I've heard an Irish song about that before.
Oh, they think they know, but they're no Thomas Edison Teriyaki, let me tell you. Anyway, so for me, the thing I miss in Seattle is Tacos Chuckies. Oh, my God, I could go there every day,
I'm
man.
Replacing Big Mario's with Tacos Chuckies on my list. The
I
thing
was like,
is,
how's
is, like,
he gonna say
I
Big
eat
Mario's?
Tacos Chuckies, like, once a week right now because there's one on, like, Queen Anne, Lower Queen Anne, and I live in, like, just on the other side of Queen Anne, so I eat it all the time. So I don't think I think about it on my list as like a thing that I have to go to because I'm just there all the time.
Hey, can I food brag for a second?
Yeah, you can food brag.
I was the first customer ever at that Tacos Chuckies location. They invited me to their
Dexter?
Soft launch. Yeah, they invited me to their soft launch, and I was like, yeah, I'll go to that. And it started at like 7:30 at night or something like that. I go to bed at like 8, and so I was there at like 7:26 being like, you gonna open? Let's go. And went in, and they were like, okay, you're the first one. Congratulations. Hooray. And so I order my whatever I get, my baby burritos, which is probably it, and a handful of tacos because I overeat there every time. And they go to hand me the little red placard that says what number you are in line, and they give me like 71, and I'm like, no.
You need to shuffle through there and find the number one.
Get out that number one so I can do some social media. And they were like, oh, yeah. And so
you remember
there's a photo.
Do you like remember going to restaurants and like eating food with people? That was fun. That was fun. Now, like, now that I'm talking about all these things that I have to do, I'm like, oh, like, is Din Tai Fung like accepting people to like sit and eat some pork chop fried rice and some xiaolong bao?
I can answer that question because I've been many times. I haven't sat in a restaurant to eat anything in 7 months.
Yeah.
But Din Tai Fung, the one at U Village,
yeah,
they closed down the street that's in front of the Tesla and what's it called, Molly Moon's there below Din Tai Fung, right. And they put tables all through there. So you can have an outside dining experience where they wait on you in one section, or you can just get it to go and sit at a table and eat yourself. And then there's like some teenager that hates his life walking around with like a spray bottle that has to clean the tables when you're done. I mean, universally, every time we've gone like several times because my wife, who is a chronic online shopper, always has something to return. So I'm like, well, let's go to Din Tai Fung. It's a very costly habit.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and then another one that I like, I really want to go back to Thai Tom.
Oh, I love Thai Tom. I wanted to food brag for a second. Can I food brag for a second?
Yeah, man, do it.
When I went to Thailand, which makes me an expert for our podcast that we do in a while. When I went to Thailand, on the way back, we stopped through. We had like a 24-hour layover in Taipei. And while in Taipei, I went to the original Din Tai Fung.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I was not the first.
When we were in Japan, my wife is vegan, and it's very hard to explain to Japanese people what that means. They don't like understand that concept. They get vegetarian, but they use egg in a lot. Right. And so we had to carry around a sign that was with, you know, Japanese script. Like, it's not called kanji. It's something else. And hand it to waiters and waitresses before they brought us food. And they would be like, they'd look at us, and then they'd look at us like, what? They're like, oh, no, it's okay. Okay, great. So she got so tired of not being able to find things to eat. She was like, I don't know what to eat. We're looking at the, you know, Google Maps on our phone, and then it says Din Tai Fung. And she's like, we're going to Din Tai Fung.
Yeah.
While we were at a restaurant where she couldn't figure out what to eat, she was like, this is where we're going. So I bang-banged in Kyoto while we were there.
Yes.
They're so weird there, though, because they're still stuck in mall culture in some, like a department store culture.
Yeah.
Not universally, but like in the places where you find a lot of thoroughfare and a lot of food.
Especially in Kyoto.
Like,
I feel like I got sushi when we were in Kyoto, and that's what we got, was like in a mall.
Yeah. Was it at the Kyoto train station? Because that's the best sushi ever.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
But yeah, you go to like a department store, and on the sixth floor, they have all these restaurants, and it feels real weird. Well, right in the middle of like a Macy's, there's a Din Tai Fung there. And so we're sitting there, and people are like shopping for scarves next to us, like, this would look nice. And I'm like, would you like to wrap it around this Xia Long Bao? So yeah, I could relate to the foreign Din Tai Fung experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I would miss. So
yeah.
And not much from the North End, where I'm at now.
Except for Toshi's.
Yeah, but that's all over.
Thomas Edison Toshi.
Thomas Edison Teriyaki. That's great. Okay. Well, anyway, where were we? Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from current Sounder Chad Ichinojo to current Sounder Roman Torreson.
This week, the ACB Sounders FC take on the Latchkey Kids and Locked Out of Their Country, Vancouver Whitecaps FC, in a battle for the hanging out at our friend's house till mom gets home cup.
That is very good. That is very good. I did not read that before, and that's funny. You know, I just realized that ACB, I get it. I know what you're talking about.
But it's too close to something else.
Well, ACB is also, first of all, yes. And second of all, that's the LA Galaxy supporters club. It's like the Angel City Brigade is what they call it. So,
oh, I strike that. From the, I would like to omit that from
for the record, ACB is attacking center backs. Like, attacking center backs is what ACB is.
Well, because the big news, Roman Torres is once again a Seattle Sounder.
Which means that we're either signing depth for Javier Arriaga when he goes to play in the CONMEBOL championship, or we're signing depth for Raul Ruiz Diaz when he goes to play in the CONMEBOL tournament.
So now we have two guys that are notorious for playing attacking center back, the Sounders FC secret weapon.
Yeah.
So that's the ACB part. But we'll just call it AC Sounders FC from now on, okay?
All center backs are bastards.
I'm not. Why did you have to do that? Now that we've talked soccer, big congrats to Shodai being the bestest fat guy and getting promoted to Ozeki. Now, really, for everyone who's pro-rel that wants promotion and relegation in MLS, which is an idea that I don't think the league can actually support. Nice end hat, by the way. Sumo is the ultimate MLS model because it's set up both like an MLM, a multi-level marketing scheme, and you also get relegated for being bad or getting hurt. So I feel like it's like...
the Sounders would be screwed.
Yeah, and I think there's some people that would like to see that. I say it's MLM because it is the Sumo structure is a pyramid scheme. There's a bunch of, when you get to the top level, the Makauchi, there's a ton of Magashira guys rated from 1 to usually 16 or 17, depending on how many guys there are in the next level at Komusubi. And then you have Sekiwake, and then you have Ozeki, and then Yokozuna is the very tip top. You only have like one or two Yokozuna, two or three or four maybe Ozeki, and you have to like do considerably harder things to advance in these levels to get up there. And then if you get hurt, you just sit out and it counts against you. Like if you don't enter the tournament, you lose all 15 matches, which is crazy.
Whoa.
So like in order to stay at the top, you can't be hurt.
You have to keep have to keep going.
Yeah, and so it's a really brutal sport. But also, if you are bad enough in a tournament, effectively there's 15 bouts, and so if you lose more than you win, you're going down, and if you win more than you lose, you're going up. It's like a pretty simple system. But you get relegated through these levels, and if you drop below Magashira, then you lose your paycheck. When you go down to Juryo, you no longer have like the benefits of being a professional sumo. It's crazy, dude. So, it's like a...
So then do you have to like have all of your sumo friends over to your house under the pretense that you're just like going to have like you're just going to hang out and have drinks, but then at the end of it you're like,
tickle fight.
and if by chance you want to buy some of my chinkonabi that I have here in this case, and then you have to get like six of the Ozeki to buy a chinkonabi to in order for you to become a hakuho or to become yokozuna.
Well, and it's not just any chinkonabi; it is Herbalife chinkonabi.
Right. So Catherine, my wife, doesn't watch a lot of Sounders
sumo
games with me, or sumo. And when the Sounders were playing LA Galaxy, she despises MLMs, right? Like because she's a you know, she's a hairstylist. She works in the beauty industry. And so she is like a prime target for like these stay-at-home moms who are friends of ours, or even like people from Spokane where she grew up and where we're moving to. Like, go ahead.
Also, her ex-boyfriend's father's name was Herb Al Leafe.
Yeah. Best friends with Thomas Edison Teriyaki.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
Yeah. So she gets hit up all the time on Instagram and everywhere else. It's like, hey, boss babe, like I want to sell you some chinkonabi, but it's always under the pretense like, how are you? We haven't talked for so long. Like blah 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 blah. Buy my makeup or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do you want to make a little extra income on the side? And so she despises it. So anyway, she like sits down and is watching the LA Galaxy game with me a few days ago. And she's like, wait. Are they sponsored by a pyramid scheme? I was like, oh, yeah.
This is
MLS. Three teams are sponsored by pyramid schemes. You've got RSL, you've got FC Dallas, and you've got LA Galaxy, obviously sponsored by Herbalife. And she was like, how is that okay? And I'm like, well, you see, they're in LA, which is they're really trying to go for that like Hispanic if you watch the John Oliver special on how they specifically target like new citizens or like new like immigrants to the United States who are primarily Hispanic in LA, they're trying to like oversell these people and just make all of their money off of their back so then they can like up themselves to Yokozuna or whatever it is in the MLM world. But she could not believe the LA Galaxy. And like, this is old news. They've been sponsored by these guys for all the time. You had David Beckham running around the kit, like wearing a MLM on his jersey, which I'm sure was great for Herbalife. But it is just like a crazy,
pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's, and then Advocare on the side, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then I don't like Life Vantage or something.
Yeah, there's a... Why can't we just have a good old-fashioned oil company like BMO, huh?
I know, come on.
Are they telecom
that's a bank.
Or oil?
That's a bank. Oh. That's a bank. Oh, Bank of Montreal. Bank of Montreal.
To be fair, I'm sure they make their money on oil futures, which is probably bad news for them right now. So
yeah. Why can't we just have something like that nobody really knows what they do, like Zulily?
An imaginary company, a tax shelter.
Which is probably a front. Yeah, you're right.
All right. What else do we have here? Oh, big congrats going out to Nico Lodero. First of all, Shodai, it was his first championship. Great job, Shodai. His buddy Asanoyama, who came up, who was below him the whole way coming up, had already won one and got promoted to Ozeki. Now Shodai is going to be a co-Ozeki. And it'll be and the November tournament's going to be great. If you win two tournaments in a row, you are automatically put up for a promotion to Yokozuna. So watch out. Congrats to Nico Lodero hitting 10,000 minutes played in MLS. And when it's MLS, they say if you do something for 10,000 hours, you become a master. I feel like if you play for 10,000 minutes in MLS, you become a master.
You become a Yokozuna.
He is Yokozuna of Seattle Sounders.
But now he has to start selling Chunkonabe to like New Hood in order to remain in that Yokozuna spot.
Now he's got all his bottom bitches in place. He doesn't have to do anything. He just gets to stand back and be like, Brad Smith, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I noticed you're a little low on sales. I hear he negotiated his contract so that way when he's out selling Chunkonabe, he doesn't have to start from the bottom level again because he put in the time and he wouldn't come back. Unless he could start as a tier three, so
right,
yeah, great. Yeah.
So now he just has to like pimp all of his Chunkonabe to Alex Roldan.
MLS team of the week, Alex Roldan.
Hey, you know what? We had a review which is now very relevant, and I'm going to read it right now. Okay.
Oh no! Here we go about how much we shouldn't talk about sumo.
So
and
I think
begin.
I think this is an. I don't know if Corey is a new listener or not, but he sent us a tweet, and he said, "Seriously, 23 minutes of bullshit non-Sounders related stuff. Seriously, you're lucky your banner is funny AF. House of Chads should be a recurring bit." So I'm like, thanks.
Corey,
also, how dare
you're
you?
You're the damn best. First of all, how dare you?
Yeah.
Secondly, that's the best type of review that we could get. One that we don't have to dwell on and use 23 minutes to harp on Yan. It's not, we don't have to go there. Corey, we appreciate you listening, and that's so cool. So.
Yeah, and thanks for the follow on Twitter, at Full90Podcast.
Now, how about that win? Another almost shutout for Seattle Sounders FC, 3-1 against LA Galaxy. You're nodding your head like I missed something.
No, I mean, it's the almost shutout thing is like, it's just becoming a meme at this point, right? Like, the Sounders up in dominating a match, and then you sub in Javier Arriaga and and give up a goal. I mean, right? Like, the penalty against San Jose when we were winning by, like, 1-0. While I do disagree with the call, was on Javier Arriaga. When you had... when you had a terrible like missed, I mean, this is what's crazy. The goal that gets scored against the Sounders, you've got Shane O'Neill, Javier Arriaga in the back, and then a cross gets played, and it's a headed goal. And Arriaga is definitely the culprit. He's the one that misses that. The finger wag. The ball goes over the top. He completely misses it. He like loses his mark. And but you've got Shane O'Neill looking like he has just like committed a crime and got caught for it immediately. Like he is on the ground, like pulling his hair out. Like he cannot believe. Like I love to see that from a center back. Like the hair that he doesn't have. I love to see that from a center back. Like losing his mind over the fact that we conceded a goal after dominating most of the match. I thought I like to see that from Shane O'Neill. Don't like to see that from Javi. But now that you've got Roman Torres, Javier Arriaga, Yamar, Shane O'Neill, and three left backs or whatever, I think that our defense should be okay from now on.
Well, we also learned that the real reason why he was so upset wasn't because that Stefan Fry is not going to get that clean sheet bonus, but actually because now Stefan Fry is not going to let him off the hook for not making his Chunkonabe sales for the week. He thought he was going to get promoted to level two, but it's just not in the works now because he messed it up.
That's all going to Alex Roldan, who, by the way, came on as a substitute and played really great and also somehow got Team of the Week for MLS.
Despite
MLS
his brother scoring two goals.
.com.
It must be so frustrating for Fry, who, like, I'm sure makes money off of the... you know, unfairly off of the number of clean sheets that he keeps or whatever. But like when you're working out that contract next time, be like, yo, if I don't approve the center backs, then I want a one goal buffer. Okay.
Right,
because
right.
Otherwise.
He's like, you, it's, that's actually maybe how the Sounders are like saving money during these hard times of the pandemic. And they can't have fans in the stadium. They're like, well, we're not making money off of $15 beers. So we need to make sure that we're playing Javi and Shane O'Neill in front of Stefan. So we don't have to give him that $500 clean sheet bonus. That's at least 15 beers.
Also, they've got a new sponsor. It's for linens, and they gave him a $500 clean sheet bonus, yeah. Not like he had anticipated.
Yeah.
All right. What else? The idea that you would be able to play a strategy that's just catch up with Jordan Morris.
Gosh.
Playing that high line and hoping that Jordan Morris doesn't burn you is going to burn you every time.
They said this so many times on the broadcast. Steve Zakuani, Keith Costigan, and Casey Keller. For some reason, we have all three of them in the booth. they said this so many times.
I think that's a good thing. Hold on. I think that's a good thing because I think that Keller and Zakuani balance each other out because Zakuani's so pragmatic and Keller's so negative
right. That
like, and Keller can't just run his mouth as like the big time professional because Zakuani is so good.
Yeah. Well, when I played for Hull City or whatever in the like lower champions.
But hey, I mean, Keller is a legend.
For sure.
It's just
for
that
sure. He's
like such a personality that he can kind of steamroll over people. And I've had it happen to me.
He's a Lexi Lawless light, right? Like that's essentially what Casey Keller is.
And so Zakuani is like a really, really good analyst. And so you can't come at him and get it by him because he's not aggressive about it. He's just like, well, I don't know that that's right. I think it's this. And then he has to be like, okay. And so like real quickly, when you added the third person to the booth and it's Zakuani, it made Keller have to raise his game a little bit. And I think it's actually been really good for the broadcast.
My wife and I were walking the dogs this morning and there's like a few moving companies like right around the corner from us that like they all keep their trucks in that area. So every morning, all of these guys that are movers go down to this area, pick up their trucks. They go to the gas station that's like right down the corner from our place. And they get, you know, they get their like $5 foot long, you know, wieners and their coffee, and they get back into their trucks and they drive away. And my wife and I literally always laugh every time we see one of these trucks driving away because it's like this huge truck with a tiny little cab and three big dudes sitting in the cab, like all next to each other. To me, that is the Sounders broadcast booth right now.
Well, good thing it's COVID then, right? Because they all have to be like across the conference room from one another to be able to pull that off.
Kept talking about the fact that like you cannot play a strategy against the Sounders, which requires basically hoping that Jordan Morris doesn't run right by you, right?
Right.
And I think based on watching... go ahead.
That strategy is playing a high line to try and put as many people in your final third as possible
sure.
to be able to try and beat a team that's going to be real good. But with Jordan Morris, if you have that high line, as soon as one ball goes over the top, he's going to burn by anybody who's got their back to goal.
I mean, maybe their strategy was just like Jordan Morris will eventually get tired, and when he does, they won't be able to play that ball to him anymore because he's running so much. And it's like, well, yeah, but every time he runs right by you, he's scoring a goal or assisting Christian Roldan. So like you find yourself three down and you're like, oh, is Jordan Morris tired yet? And there was one point later in the game in like the 70th minute when the score is already 3-0 where Jordan, like somebody played a long, like Nico played a long ball to Jordan Morris or Joao Paulo was about to, and then Jordan just like put his arm up and he's like, no, I'm not running. I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm not running anymore. And I'm like, okay. And that's when LA Galaxy was like, okay, now
our
we go.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. It was, and what was interesting is I think that it was Casey Keller who's been saying that in the previous matches leading up to it, too, that, like, they're playing this high line, expose the high line, and be able to burn by him. And then it finally came to fruition, and Big Gun Schmitz popped on and was like, yeah, we're going to do this.
Also, doesn't that coach look sexy on the sideline? That's a comment in the Sound Heart article from Big Gun Schmitz 42069.
As I was watching the match, I was like, wouldn't it be, I want it to be, I want Jordan Morris to have Nico Lodero hair. I want him to go full on I can't tell if it's frosted tips, if we're back to that now because mm-hmm. of the timeline, or if it's full-on bleach blonde hair. I want to see him do something that's super out of character like
mullet.
That. Like, I thought all the tattoos was that, but then I want to see, like, some real bad hair.
Nico Ladero with a mullet. That's what I want. I want him to go, like, full, like, super baggy jersey, like, mullet, look like 1990s, like, just look like a total 1990s set.
Like,
he's
about to pass the ball to Maradona.
Yeah, exactly. And then he gets like a really bad cocaine addiction like Maradona, and it's gonna be great.
I thought we were gonna see Nuhu put a ball in from about 48 yards. Like, everyone saw it. It was telegraphed more than anything could be, but that ball came rolling up to him, and to watch that action figure leg just swing back and go full on smash that ball. I feel like at that point, the goalkeeper, whatever his nuts is, Bingham. What's his name? Bingham, yeah. Bing Crosby, could have just gotten out of the way and been like, nice, just to see if it tore through the back of the net or not.
There was, so a few weeks ago when the Sounders played San Jose, after you remember they kept dishing the ball to Nuhu, being like, score, Nuhu, score. And yeah. It just never happened, right? It kept, like, he just took one too many touches because he's not a forward yet. It just never came off. And then after the game, everybody on Twitter made note of the fact that after the game, Jimmy Traore's got his arm around Nuhu. Jimmy Traore, famous Sounder, Liverpool center back, like, incredible player. Jimmy Traore's got, but he's scored a lot of goals in his time. He's got his arm around Nuhu, and everybody's like, that's Jimmy telling Nuhu how to score. Right?
Oh, and dope.
And so when you think back to Jimmy's most famous goal for the Sounders, it's him ripping one from like 40 yards out. I think Nuhu was just like, this is what Jimmy told me to do. And then, like, that's my best French accent.
Best of the rest.
And so he just rips it, and he does miss. However, he does, in this same match, get his first MLS assist, which I thought is crazy that that hasn't happened yet. But he gets his first MLS assist. It was a hockey assist, yes. Which means that he assisted the assist, and that led up to the Sounders' first goal with Christian Roldan.
His impact has, there's no question that while he still is going to be a wild card all the time, his impact adds so much depth, his ability to be able to.
Yeah, considering in the same match, like when you talk about a wild card, in the same match, he could have easily just booted the ball out, but instead he pops it up and then heads it out. Like he noticed that, like on Twitter I said that it's like he noticed that his headed clearance stat on FIFA was too low, so he's trying to pop it up a little bit.
Boop.
He's like, I could just kick this one, but I need to buff up my stats.
But that dude's a guy that's having fun playing soccer.
Yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
I mean, they're all professionals and they're all supposed to be playing to the best of their ability, but, like, God forbid you don't have a good time. Like, that's what it's this podcast equivalent to my job of being a radio broadcaster is that, like, this is my pop it up and head it out. Yeah. This is my 23 minutes of talking about Chanko Nabe instead of talking about soccer. That, like that I come here to do this. And it's great to be able to feel like you're still having some fun.
This podcast is the, Javier, for me, is the Javier Arriaga getting a red card and not being able to play anymore because I'm not doing my real job right now.
That brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Adidas Hefty Boy, big and tall, man of the match.
Your Adidas Hefty Boy, big and tall, man of the match is, in my opinion, either Wau Paulo or Neymar.
Or Neymar. Yeah. He had a great game. Adidas Hefty Boy, big and tall, man of the match, jerseys for big boys.
I feel like we're going to keep Adidas Hefty Boy in business now that we've got Neymar, Arriaga, and Roman Torres all on the same team.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see Neymar and Torres out there. Like, I assume that they both are Spanish speakers. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And see them out there bantering with one another. And then, like, you know, like I can imagine Roman Torres dancing and Neymar being like, oh, what's this? All right. Yeah.
I cannot. Getting after it a little bit. I cannot wait for this. I don't feel like we're ready. And I pray that, that Brian Schmetzer, does this just for the memes, but you have he plays a three-man back line, which is becoming more popular in the global sport. He plays a three-man back line that is Roman Torres, Neymar, and Arriaga. Which is just a red card waiting to happen, or two.
That also means it's just one at the back while you have five strikers.
Yeah, exactly.
We end up flipping it from a... like
Kelvin Leerdam, you just have this... like, I have this shot of Kelvin Leerdam in the back, like with his arms up, being like, guys?
You switch from a 3-5-2, right? That's kind of what they're playing. Yeah. Or 3-4-3 to a 1-4-5.
The reverse Christmas tree.
I can't wait. Do it for the memes.
Do it for the meme. It's like the fight fire with fire. You know, you let whoever score 9 goals on us, but you've got everybody up top to score 10.
Hey, at the end of last season, we did we gave away awards at the podcast party, which will have to be virtual this year. But we gave away awards, and one of them was Biggest Boy, and it was Roman Torres. That is an
He's
open.
He's got some real competition this year.
Yeah, this is it's open. Well, I have no idea how this is going to finish. Oh. Also, I do want to get Ichinojo a jersey.
I feel
I don't know what size he wears.
Is Biggest Boy. I mean, first of all, yeah. Ichinojo.
Chad Ichinojo. Number one Biggest Boy in all of Japan.
Yeah. Except, what about that Bulgarian guy? That Bulgarian guy is huge.
To be fair, Ichinojo, again, for anyone that doesn't remember from last week, is 6'3", 437 pounds. He is a big professional athlete, and I mean, I feel like he could murder.
At one point during the match, they said something about Yamar, I think, and they were like, "You don't want." Oh no! I'm thinking of the Seahawks game where they were talking about which. Is, I think, a point in Yamar's book about being Biggest Boy. Because if I'm thinking about offensive linemen and I accidentally got it confused with Yamar, I feel like that's a point in the book for Yamar.
Jamal Adams is out. Yamar is going to go fill in for him on the Seahawks.
we've talked about this, like, of how you think that Roman Torres would play. Okay, this is actually a question I asked while watching the match, which is... if you were going to have an entire team made up of like 11 clones of one person, right?
Yeah.
Like what would be the best?
Joe Allen.
Joe Allen, right? We've talked about this before. Like 11 Joe Allens. What would you rather fight? One Joe Allen sized duck or 11 duck sized Joe Allens?
I don't know the answer to that.
But we've talked about that before. I feel like if you look at the Sounders, it is definitely Roman Torres. Like 11 Roman Torreses. Yeah, you only end up with 7 guys on the field by the end because of the red cards. But they only end up with 7 guys on whoever we're playing only ends up with 7 guys on the field because Roman Torres killed 4 of them.
Like they don't have legs that function anymore, but
yeah. I feel like the real answer is Ozzie Alonso. Like that guy can do everything.
Giampaolo, buddy.
Oh, Giampaolo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or as you terribly, terribly say, Wow, Paolo. You should be fired from soccer for that.
I know. Actually, no, after watching that game, we haven't even talked about this because I think the real man of the match, despite Giampaolo had a crazy good game, Yamar had a really strong game. Again, he looks like an incredible center back for us. Christian Roldan played amazing. Like to see him playing a more forward role, like he's always like he often gets relegated to the side, like to play on the wing because you've got Giampaolo and Roldan in the middle and you've got Gustav Svensson. Like,
yeah, he's a utility player, totally. So he kind of has to fill in where you need him. But now that Giampaolo is playing that central defense role and Svensson's there, like, what are you going to do with a Roldan, bro?
Well, you put him out to the side and he does okay. But when you've got Raul Ruiz Diaz out because of a weird late suspension because of a kick out during the previous match, you've got Christian Roldan all of a sudden playing this like much more forward role. Like he's making some of the runs that you think that Jordan Morris is making on the other side. He had a great game and 2 goals to score for it, including that like insane chip over Bingham at the end, which was awesome to watch.
So much touch. It's a true striker's class.
Yeah.
I mean, he really, like, any of the guys that you want up front there would have to be able to pull that off, and he did it with, I mean, he was falling as he's running because he's got so much speed, and he was able to sort his feet out and just dink it right over the keeper, man. Great, great play. Okay, so we're looking forward to someday, Saturday, that's the day, as the Seattle Sounders FC welcome the Vancouver Whitecaps FC. Poor Vancouver, locked out of Canada, just couch surfing until they can get back in. It's real tough. I don't know how Canada's actually treating them, if they're just in a hotel somewhere down here? What's going on?
I think I was reading like that they were able to go back in between. So they just played a home match in Portland against Portland where they lost. But they just
went, and that's because of quarantine rules. They're right. only playing at home against Canadian teams. There's only two other Canadian teams.
Yeah.
It is even a worse repetition than we're seeing right now. So if they want to play home against a USA team, they have to actually come down and play as the home team away.
Mm-hmm. And so what they did was they, I was reading that I think that they actually get to go back to Vancouver for the time in between their matches against Seattle and Portland. So they might be back in Vancouver right now. I don't know what the quarantine rules are before they come back to play against against Seattle, but Inter Miami broke quarantine rules, so Gonzalo Higuain could play in their match. So I don't think quarantine rules really mean anything in America.
Oh, yeah. Have you noticed the 200,000 dead people? Like, we don't.
Yeah, no, we don't care.
You know, one fifth of all the dead people from coronavirus are from this country.
In the entire planet? Yeah, one fifth of them are from this country.
4% of the population lives here. One fifth of everyone comes from this country.
Yeah, but it's not a real thing. Sorry, I'm moving to Spokane. It's already coming out. Like, it's. I'll try to keep that in until I'm actually in Spokane.
How about this Steve Zakuani, huh?
Yeah, so I love this. First of all, Steve Zakuani, we talked about this kind of offline, but we think that Steve Zakuani is the Sounders broadcast. He makes that broadcast. He is also getting some high profile writing gigs playing on Major League Soccer, soccer.com and .com. And he wrote an article kind of like all of the takeaways from week whatever it was. And he said, San Jose aside, Vancouver has been the worst defensive team in the West. They don't defend crosses or set pieces well, which is fine because we don't play crosses or set pieces very well as the Sounders.
Oh, knew who would like a word, sir.
Guys, Vancouver guys lose their marks too easily, and sometimes they don't even bother to mark, which is great. In a week where they conceded 7 goals in 2 games, 6 of them came from set pieces or crosses from wide areas.
Oh my God, this is the chance. Yamar's going to get his goal, bro.
Yamar already has a goal. I think this is new.
Yamar's going to get a second goal, bro.
Kelvin Leardham's going to get his debut goal.
Dare you. I think that Nuhu will finally get a full assist and not a hockey assist, being able to whip it across now like he does.
Working his way up to scoring a real big boy goal. and so on top of them already defending very poorly against crosses and set pieces, where a lot of it is just how well your defenders organize, right? Which a lot of the time starts with your I almost call them your quarterback, your goalkeeper. It's football season, and I don't even like football season that much. So all of that starts with your goalkeeper. Well, on top of all of their terrible defending, their goalkeeping position is a mess right now. So both their starter and their backup are out with injury, and so they just had to go sign a backup goalkeeper from Montreal. They just signed Evan Bush, who has like a lot of starting a lot of starting minutes in MLS.
But what happened to what's his name?
Halsall or whatever, the guy, the like 17-year-old kid that...
the Seattle guy.
Oh, Brian Meredith? Oh, what did happen to Brian Meredith?
Where's Brian Meredith?
Where's Brian Meredith?
I like that you matched my tone.
Where's Brian Meredith? Where's Brian Meredith? I'm Googling it right now. Where's Brian Meredith?
we just have a tracking collar on him. It's like, oh, he's at Tim Hortons.
Where's Brian Meredith? Where's Brian Meredith?
I remember he had a family emergency that led him to sitting out some games, but like, did he just never come back?
I don't know. There's like, if you Google where's Brian Meredith, the first three like videos that pop up are Brian and Meredith's wedding, which is not Brian Meredith. And then it's Harry Shipp leaving Brian Meredith hanging with hilarious, I don't know, it go trails off.
Yeah.
And then Vancouver Whitecaps FC Friday Night FIFA, Brian Meredith playing Stephen Fry on FIFA. So, like, nobody knows where Brian Meredith is.
Like, I hope he's okay.
Him and Harry Shipp, who retired last year, him and Harry Shipp are just, like, hiding out on a houseboat in Lake Union.
With the seamen.
Seamen. I have to. You have to properly emphasize the second part of that word. The seamen.
You don't have to do anything, Brandon. All right, so it's a Saturday matchup against, it's the top team in the West versus who knows where poor old Vancouver is. They've really got a bad cut of the coronavirus because their country's taking it seriously and we're not, and we're benefiting from it. And so I do feel bad for this squad. How are you gonna take this season seriously at all when that's what's going on?
Yeah, it's it just goes to show, like, on top of everything else, with the coronavirus, with that weird with the weird COVID Cup that got played in Florida, which meant nothing and seems like it was like 10 years ago. with all of those things happening, there still has been some truths that have been kind of like floating to the top, which is that the Sounders are really good but can drop a game here and there. LAFC wow. is a really good team but can drop a game here and there. San Jose remains terrible. But then, like, you think, like, okay, despite everything going on, MLS still going to MLS, right? So you want to take the league seriously because, like, these things, like, these teams that are good teams remain good teams. However, you look at what happened yesterday, or whatever, whenever it was, San Jose, who has given up something like 40 goals in like a month, beat LAFC 2-1. Like,
yeah, before that they'd given up 38 goals.
I was joking with 40. I thought it was going to be closer to 20. I can't believe they was actually close.
They're at the bottom of the stack right now with a minus 20 goal differential because they're so bad, but they still pulled off a huge upset.
Yeah.
I mean, LAFC is seventh right now.
Insane.
Now, the spread from, keep in mind, you know, we're only 13, 14 matches into the season or whatever. And so the spread between first and 12th is only 10 points.
Yeah.
With a game in hand for that. But, like, Seattle Sounders FC at the top, this is the stat that makes me most hopeful, and I'm not going to talk about the 538 prediction for the MLS Cup because I'm not going there. But the thing that makes me most hopeful, and
Hillary Clinton's going to win the MLS Cup.
Ah, Trump! Okay. But the thing to look forward to the most, though, from Seattle right now is their goal differential. A goal differential of 17. The next best is 6.
Wow.
That's FC Dallas in fourth place. So Sounders are crushing goals right now and not giving a ton up. Now, FC Dallas has only given up 13 and the Sounders 12. So that means FC Dallas just can't score, mm-hmm. which is a good sign if, you know, you look at the playoffs.
FC Dallas later on. Is Brandon in college.
Hey guys, I play a mandolin. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Can
you believe that didn't work?
You're so charming. I don't know what's wrong with you. You're too busy being big brother, I think. That's the problem.
Probably.
Your poor younger brothers are like, I'm scoring more than my brother.
No. I had cameras everywhere and I watched everybody do everything. I was very big brother.
Okay. I was like, this is getting weird real fast, but now I understand the joke. Okay, great. Okay, let's bring this puppy home, Brandon. The match is on Saturday night at 7 p.m. CenturyLink Field. Vancouver Whitecaps FC are going to make the long drive down I-5. Will they get let back into their own country afterwards? We'll find out. In case you just got back from the Chonko Hut, it's time for TLDL. Too long, didn't listen.
Next week's sponsor for Man of the Match is definitely Chonko Hut.
Too long, didn't listen.
Thick, hot beef. Too long, didn't listen.
Prepared by Thomas Edison Teriyaki. And too long, didn't listen.
Where's Brian Meredith?
Where's Brian Meredith?
Where's Brian Meredith? Where's Brian Meredith?
You know who's seen him? Ah, Trump!